You are listening to the Corrections Connection News Network, CCNN, your weekly news source for the corrections and criminal justice industry.
Welcome to today's live talk. I'm your host, Michelle Gasso. This week on the Corrections Connection, we're looking at enhancing officer safety through technology. Joining us to talk today is Steve Morrison, Executive Director of the National Corrections and Law Enforcement Training and Technology Center. Mr. Morrison has served in this role since the center opened in 2000 on executive loan from the Federal Bureau of Prisons. He's also been employed as Deputy Director of Corrections for the National Law Enforcement and Corrections Technology Center, Southeast Region, where he served as the agency's focal point for corrections efforts in the United States. Mr. Morrison has also served as a lieutenant at the North Charleston Police Department in Charleston, South Carolina, chief of police at the Naval Weapons Station in Charleston, and accreditation auditor and chair for the American Correctional Association's Accreditation Committee. Welcome to today's live talk, Mr. Morrison. We're happy to have you.
Thanks, Michelle. Glad to be here.
Well, let's start today by talking a little bit about how much should corrections depend on technology for officer safety? And I'm wondering, is there really a pure high-tech solution to officer safety? Do agencies really need more than just the latest innovations to make officers safe?
Michelle, you can never replace the human element in any technology. And, of course, all technology requires some type of interaction by the human, whether it be installing software or turning the device off and on. And besides, there's always got to be somebody to watch the technology and ensure that it's working properly. And while it's great to, technology is great to help staff do their job, it shouldn't be viewed as an ultimate solution to their problems. I'd also like to add that the technology is only as effective as the trained person that utilizes it. Here at the NCLETTC, we developed something fairly new that you won't see at many training centers. We developed a technology demonstration laboratory where we allow vendors to permanently display their products, and all the students that come through are able to go into the technology lab, see the technologies, pick them up, operate them, and if they are attending a course here that's scenario-based, we actually allow them to use the technology in their scenarios and then provide the vendor and us with some feedback on the product. Good way for them to be able to see basically what's out there and what works and what doesn't.
Really good opportunity for them to sort of get an idea of maybe what their agency might want to look at down the road and what they might want to see improved in a technology if they are interested in something.
Absolutely.
Now, could you provide us with a couple of examples of maybe different emerging technologies or technologies that have been out there that have been upgraded that relate to correctional officer safety?
I think probably the best technologies for officer safety are those that allow officers to maintain a close-up contact with an offender. What it does is minimize the distance between the officer and the offender. Mm-hmm. And these would be technologies that incapacitate an offender without the officer having to get close enough to them for them to hurt them.
Mm-hmm.
Such items as OC spray, tasers, and other less lethal type have been very effective for this purpose. And recently, NIJ has developed the standard for stab-resistant vest body armor, which has really, really been great for the community since corrections are now catching up with the law enforcement side and starting to issue stab-resistant vests inside the prisons.
Now, does that mean that those manufacturers of those types of items have to meet certain standards, or is it that corrections agencies can say, we're really looking for a product to meet the standard?
Basically, both.
Oh.
A manufacturer has to meet the NIJ standard in order to be able to be a part of the Bulletproof Vest Partnership Act.
I see.
And it's really turned out to be something great for the corrections community. On the other side, there's also some new technology for tracking inmates and officers as they move about the facility.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, it's always important when an officer is down or in trouble to be able to accurately locate him.
And those are fairly effective, or some are more effective than others?
Well, with any technology, there's always some that are more effective. And historically, the ones that are more effective are more cost prohibitive for our agencies to be able to purchase.
I see. Now, we have one question for you. We're just wondering about these kinds of technologies, where do they come from? Do most of them come from military development? And are they maybe first tried out in the military sector and then adapted to corrections, or are some made just for corrections?
Well, unfortunately, corrections has had to accept mostly overlap technology from law enforcement and military in the past. For example, the National Institute of Justice is funded to research and develop law enforcement technology. They really don't have a mandate to do corrections, even though they have corrections technology centers. However, the majority of law enforcement and school safety, those types of things, do have an overlap capability that reaches into the corrections community. And it's not necessarily a bad thing that we use dual-use technology. It's sort of a good thing because we do have funding. And we have learned in the past many years that I've been working with NIJ and legislators that there's nobody on the Hill raising cane about getting funding for corrections like there is for law enforcement. Most of it's for law enforcement, and we end up taking the overlap. And there are corrections vendors that do build products specifically for corrections when they identify a need. However, they're not always customized to meet the needs of the actual practitioner. They're built for sales capability and not necessarily for the end user.
I see. And how is that adaptation process working for corrections? Does it work fairly well? Since that's where the money is, I guess corrections has to be kind of pleased with that. But
well, corrections has been light years behind the law enforcement community, but we're rapidly catching up. We're starting to gain more attention. There's more concentration at the NIJ level these days on corrections, thanks to Director Sarah Hart. The Office of Law Enforcement Technology Commercialization, located here in Wheeling, they're a very workable partner with our center, and they are doing a lot with identifying and commercializing corrections products.
Wonderful. If you're just joining us, we're talking with Steve Morrison, Executive Director of the National Corrections and Law Enforcement Training and Technology Center in Moundsville, West Virginia. I wanted to continue our discussion and talk about where can agencies go to find out about some of these new technologies? And how do they, what are some strategies for maybe avoiding the sales pitch and actually getting down to really what does the technology do?
Well, all over the country, and I hate to keep talking about NIJ, but they are the best at what they do regarding new and emerging technologies. Since I worked for them 5.5 years, I feel some ownership there. And NIJ has technology centers across the country that are almost in every area that service a certain number of states. You can call these technology centers. They're called National Law Enforcement Corrections Technology Centers. And you can call these centers, and they will answer your questions on the type of technologies that are out there, the ones that function the way that they advertise, and actually the best type of technology for the mission that you require. These NIJ centers and NIJ utilize a number of advisory boards. Each one of the centers has an advisory board that provides them with priorities for their region. And also there's a national board called the Law Enforcement and Corrections Technology Advisory Committee that's made up of over 200 practitioners from across the country. And they really mandate the priority setting for NIJ and their funding. And these are very, very workable and easy avenues for people to determine what type of technology is there, if it's the type that they need, and whether it works as it's advertised. And the best part about this is you avoid that sales pitch, and of course salesmen will sell you anything as long as they can make their money. And I think the NIJ centers and some of the national labs can provide you the feedback that you need to make a worthwhile purchase.
Maybe they can check there first, so check what NIJ has been looking at, and then go from there before they look out into the...
And I would add, Michelle, that the best overall way to find out the best technologies and whether or not they function properly is talk to somebody that's purchased the item before and have used it for a certain amount of time. And I think that is probably word of mouth and talking to your friends. Those are people that you can trust in other facilities,
right,
and they will tell you the truth about the product.
Picking up the phone and calling your colleagues maybe in another state or something like that.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, can you talk a little bit about the annual mock prison riot at Moundsville? That's where you're located. And this event obviously gives officers a chance to check to test out some different technologies. But I have an inkling that it also specifically includes some officer safety type items. Is that right?
Yes, it does. This will be the seventh year for the mock prison riot, and I've been fortunate enough to have been here all six of the previous ones, and we have watched it grow from year to year. The event is sponsored by the National Institute of Justice and also the Office of Law Enforcement Technology Commercialization. And of course, the best part is it's held here at the NCLETTC on our grounds. What we try to do is we have workshops on officer safety. We have scenarios that are based on officer safety. And of course, we have technology demonstrations from the over 100 vendors that come to participate that give demonstrations on officer safeties. This year, we expect probably over 2,000 attendees.
Okay.
Last year we had 38 states and 6 countries, and we certainly think that because of the concentration on homeland security that the attendees will be higher this year than before. And probably the best part I see that the mock prison riot gives the capability is to not only network with the people that you would work with on a day-to-day basis and people in adjoining states and across the country to get new ideas, but also to work with the new technologists that are bringing out new products and see what they have, and then take it back to your facility and tell everybody what you saw.
And they actually get a chance to talk with these technologists about what the products they developed and give them suggestions. Is that right?
Definitely do. They utilize their products in some of the scenarios and then provide feedback. So it's a great opportunity for both sides, the vendor and the practitioner. The dates for this year event is 27 through 30 April.
Oh, great. Coming right up in a couple of months.
Very close.
Month and a half. And one of the sort of neat things about that is that it's held on the grounds, as you said, of the Moundsville Center, but which is really the grounds of an old prison. Is that right?
That's correct. The prison was built in 1866 and closed in 1995. And I would like to tell everybody that this event is free. There's no registration fee. The vendors don't have to pay for a booth. So it's a chance for the NIJ and OLETSI to bring together all these different teams and corrections practitioners into one pot so they can all see what everybody actually does.
A real education experience.
Yes.
What advice can you leave our audience with in terms of choosing the right technologies for officer safety? Maybe you can talk about some of the things that ought to cross their mind, be on their checklist when they're looking at new technologies in this arena.
I think the main thing that I would like for people to know that I think about constantly when we answer questions about technology for officer safety is don't expect the technology to be your ultimate solution to your problem. Think of it as sort of like a tool in developing a solution. Don't let it be the main thing that you focus on. And finally, I'd make sure that any type of technology that you choose provides you certification or some type of training to physically teach you how to utilize the technology, how to maintain the technology, and how to stay safe with it.
Mm-hmm. And is it also important for agencies or maybe even facilities at a smaller level to, you know, make sure that the product really performs the way that the vendors said it would? And do agencies really have some not recourse there, but some ability to make sure that happens?
Yes, and like I said before, I think going through the NIJ centers and talking to your partners across the country that utilize the same type of technology, that's basically the best way to ensure that you're buying something that's going to function the way that you want it to, and it's just not going to sit on a shelf somewhere. Money is kind of restricted these days, and everybody's budget's being cut, and it's best to purchase the best bang for the buck.
Great advice. Thank you so much. That concludes today's live talk. Thank you again, Steve Morrison, Executive Director of the National Corrections and Law Enforcement Training and Technology Center, for joining us today. We are very happy to have you.
Thank you.
And thank you to our audience as well. For more information on the National Corrections and Law Enforcement Training and Technology Center and the 2003 Mock Prison Riot, go to www.ncletttc.org. And for more information on technologies for officer safety, be sure to read this week's articles on corrections.com. For CCNN, I'm Michelle Gasso.
You are listening to the Corrections Connection News Network, CCNN, your weekly news source for the corrections and criminal justice industry.